First John chapter 1, let's get into the message this morning, the Word of God. We've been looking at some scriptures here in the book of First John, but I want to concentrate this morning, verse number 5, and the remainder of the chapter. The Bible said, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him." How many is glad you heard His message? "And declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Heavenly Father, thank You this morning for the privilege, our Lord, to read the Word of God. I pray, Lord, this morning Your blessings upon the message, upon the messenger, upon those, Lord, that will hear the Word of God this day. Give us ears, our Lord, to hear what the Spirit of God would say to our hearts this day. Make us more like Your darling Son. Thank You, Lord, for my precious wife. Thank You for these 40 years together. Thank You for our children, our grandchildren. God, You've been so good to us. We're so grateful, our Father. I pray, Lord, today You'd save that one, our Lord, that needs to be saved. Strengthen that one that needs to be strengthened. I pray, God, the joy of, Lord, Your salvation be restored in that individual, our Father, that's lost their joy, left their first love. I pray, Lord, now that You'd bless us, because, Lord, in order to be a blessing, You'll have to bless us. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name, and amen, and amen. The Bible said over in the book of 1 Peter, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." In 1 John chapter number 1, in verse number 4, John tells us why that he's writing these words to us. He said, "These things write we unto you, that your joy might be full." I'm going to tell you something. We can have revival in our church. You can have revival in your home. We can have revival in our heart. We may even have revival in our community. And God help us, we need revival in our country. But we're not going to have revival apart from the joy that God wants us to have in our heart. John said, "I'm writing these things to you that your joy may be full." I believe there's a lot of God's people, beloved, listen, that have forfeited that joy, the joy of being saved. When's the last time you told somebody what Jesus means to you? When's the last time you told somebody what Jesus has done for you? And by the way, let's not be afraid to say His name. Amen. There's a lot of people in this country got a generic God. But I'm telling you, beloved, the God of this book is the Jesus that went to Calvary and gave His life for you and for me upon an old rugged cross. Brother Ralph, the choir song, so fitting with what God put on my heart today. I saw them take Christ up that mountain. I'm telling you, when by faith you can see what happened on Calvary, you can get some help through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about that joy coming from the beginning in this chapter. I'm not going to rehash it all, but we talked about the beginning brings joy. We talked about the book our hands have handled, the Word of Life. We talked about, beloved, the bridegroom. His life was manifested. We've seen it. Bear witness. We show ye eternal life, which was with the Father. We talked about the brethren. The Word of God said that which we have seen and heard, declaring to you that we may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Today I want to talk about something else that ought to bring joy. Joy unspeakable. And that's the precious blood of Christ. Look what the Bible said, beloved, here. It said if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son,
cleanses us from most of our sin. Is that what it said? Oh no, it said cleanses us from all sin. To think about, beloved, listen, the back of that piece of paper right there is white, and I'm whiter in the sight of God than that piece of paper is, all because I've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, years ago, Brother Rightly Salen had a saying. I love that old man. I'm not saying that in a disrespectful way, but ever since I've been knowing him, beloved, he was an older man of God. He'd say, beloved, listen, are you whitewashed or have you been washed white? You can be whitewashed apart from the blood of Jesus, but you'll never be washed white unless you get under the fountain of the blood that flowed down Calvary's tree. Thank God for that precious blood. Let me give you just a few things this morning. It ought to bring joy concerning the blood. My forgiveness is secured by the blood of Jesus. The Bible said, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, thank God. Listen, beloved, he was oppressed. He was afflicted. He opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus went to Calvary so that I could be forgiven of my sin. That brings great joy to my heart and to my life. Ephesians chapter 1, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Let me just say something to you this morning. You can get a lot of these modern translations. You can get a lot of these modern songbooks. I tell you, by the grace of God, as long as I'm pastor, there'll never be a modern songbook. There'll never be a modern translation that takes away from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, in whom we have redemption through his blood. If you've got a Bible that doesn't have through his blood, then, beloved, you've got the wrong Bible. You say, preacher, I wouldn't say that. That's why I'm standing where I'm standing, and you're sitting where you're sitting. I'm telling you, we need somebody in this generation to say, God has a word concerning the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, it's blood. The Bible said all have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. You say, preacher, do you think it means all? No, I know it does. It means all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom he hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. I'm telling you, beloved, you go to Romans chapter number 10. It's important you believe that Christ died, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. That is the gospel message, amen. Oh, beloved friend, we have redemption through his blood that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin. You say, preacher, who do you think you are? I know who I am. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. I'm not trying to tell you who I am this morning. I'm trying to tell you who he is and what he's done, that we can be forgiven through that precious blood that was shed on Calvary's tree. I heard this morning. I actually read it this morning. I want to share it with you. Not long before she died in 1988. That was a year after I was saved. In a moment of surprising candor on television, Margarita Lasky, one of our best-known secular humanists. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. Secular humanism has had a toll on our country. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. You don't have to believe it, but you're not your own God. I said, you're not your own God. Beloved, there's a God in heaven, and we're all going to stand before him one day. I'll say it like this. We're all going to kneel before him one day. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. She's about to die. And she said this, what I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me. I'll tell you something, if you don't believe in Jesus, honey, there is no forgiveness. You don't believe in the blood of Christ. There is no forgiveness. How sad to be ready, getting ready to die and have to say, what I like most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I'm telling you, beloved, Jesus died for this woman. And how sad it is that she died without God. She died for her just like she died for you. Like he died for you. Oh, beloved, Jesus is our Savior. Through the blood of Jesus, we have forgiveness of our sin. That ought to bring joy to our hearts. Secondly, my fellowship is restored by the blood of Jesus. And now listen to me. I believe I'm being honest right here. You're not going to live for God very long until your fellowship with God will be broken. You say, preacher, what do you mean? How long are you going to live for God before you realize that the old nature is still there? How long are you going to live for God before you realize that the old nature just got the upper hand? Somebody help me. You say, well, preacher, why is the blood of Jesus important? Because not only so I can be saved, but after I'm saved and I get sideways with God, that's what I call it, amen, out of fellowship with God, I can be forgiven and my joy can be restored. The Bible said that David was a man after God's own heart. David looked on a woman. David lusted after a woman. David sent for the woman. David committed adultery with the woman. And then it only gets worse. He starts trying to cover his tracks. He sends for her husband. That don't work. It gets him drunk. That don't work. So he just has him go out on the battlefield. And they said, take him out there to the hot, told Joab, take him out there where they're fighting the hottest and retire from him. Read it in the Bible. He didn't have a chance. This was a man after God's own heart. We say, preacher, what happened? I tell you what happened. He lost that joy. That shepherd boy no longer had that joy. That king no longer had that joy. I'm telling you, beloved, he knew when it was gone. Nathan came, told him a story about that poor man, that little ewe lamb. Oh, I tell you, old David swelled up. He said, the man that's done that thing shall surely die. Thank God for men like Nathan. He pointed that finger in his face and said, you're the man. Thank God, David, read Psalm 51. He cried out to God, God, have mercy on me. You want to know why that God can have mercy on us when we need to be saved? You want to know why God can have mercy on us, beloved, when we get wrong and need to get right as a Christian? I'll tell you why. Because right there is something called a mercy seat in heaven, and it's been sprinkled with the precious blood of Christ. And now when we cry out to God for mercy, God can have mercy on us. Amen. Our fellowship this morning is through the blood of Jesus. The Bible said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood. You may be sitting here this morning saved by the grace of God. You may feel like there's a distance between you and him. Can I tell you something? He ain't moved. Amen. I love to tell this story when I think about it. It'd be good to tell on your 40-year anniversary. Man and a woman going down the road. They see this other man and woman riding in an old pickup truck. Boy, she was just practically sitting up in his lap over there real close. He looked at his wife, or his wife looked at him and said, we used to ride like that. He looked back at her and said, I'm still sitting right where I always did. Can I tell you, Jesus is still sitting where he was when you met him? At the right hand of God the Father. He's not moved. I'm telling you, if there's a distance, it's because of us. It's not because of him. Can I tell you, he wants us close. He wants us nigh. He wants us in his lap that we might fellowship with him along the way. I read this. Think about this. I want you to think about this not only in your marriage. I want you to think about this in the church. Where's these tissues right here? Here's our box. I'm going to stuff the tissue down so you can't see it. This box right here, I want you to listen to this illustration. We'll just pretend it's got, if I had a marker, I'd write it on it. This is the fault box. The fault box. I hope I'm pronouncing that clearly enough. F-A-U-L-T. This is the fault box. I read this. I thought it was good.
A couple married for 15 years. Wouldn't want to start this after 40, Miss Eve. But a couple been married for 15 years. They began to have more and more than unusual disagreements. They wanted to make their marriage work. And they agreed on an idea that the wife had. For 1 month, they planned to drop a slip into the fault box. In other words, just put it right in there, in the fault box. The boxes would provide a place to let each other know about their daily irritations. The wife was diligent in her efforts and approach, leaving the jelly top off the jar, wet towels on the shower floor, dirty socks not in the hamper, on and on until the end of the month. After dinner at the end of the month, they exchanged boxes. The husband reflected on what he had done wrong. Then the wife opened her box and began reading. They were all the same. The message on every slip was, I love you. Hallelujah. Brother Grizzle, what if we had a church? You got any faults, Brother Grizzle? You better nod your head up and down or I'll ask Sister Peggy. What if we had a church? Somebody come, preacher preaches too long. What if we had a church where there wasn't stuff like that? I didn't like that singing. That singing's too old-fashioned. I don't like this. I don't like that. How many knows, beloved, listen, if you put up a gripe box, it'd be full. How many knows that? Say amen. But what if we had a church instead of a fault box? We just had a Jesus box. And everybody come by with a little piece of paper and said, I love you. And we might even get it real good and scriptural and say, I love you because you first loved me. Hallelujah. I believe we can look over each other's faults. I like the song. He looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. Hallelujah. For the blood of Jesus. Not only, beloved, is my forgiveness secured by the blood of Jesus, my fellowship is restored by the blood of Jesus, but my foe, my enemy, is defeated by the blood of Jesus. You say, preacher, I don't have an enemy. If you're saved, you do. If you're not saved, you do. What do you think's keeping you from Jesus? Say amen. My foe is defeated. He said, preacher, where'd you get that? Listen to this. Revelation 7:14. I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. He said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, it gets better. Listen to Revelation 12, verse 10. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is salvation. Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him, guess how? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives to death. You say, preacher, how can we overcome the flesh? How can we overcome the world? How can we overcome old Slewfoot? Amen, that Brother Don warned us about. I tell you how, by the blood of Jesus. We need some people pleading the blood over their family, pleading the blood over the church, pleading the blood, beloved, over our fellowship. Hallelujah. My foe is defeated by the blood of Jesus. Let me give you one more thing, and I'm done. Not this Brother Rose, but that Brother Rose. Brother Rose, I say this all the time. If you just got excited, you're a visitor. My people know better than to get excited just because I say just one more thing, and I'm done. Amen. I won't be before you long. Let's listen. My future is sure by the blood of Jesus. You can tell somebody that you know that you're going to heaven when you die. And some will think you're arrogant. Some will think that nobody can know that. This book said, these things that are written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I want to give you something this morning. When Jesus went to Calvary, and Jesus shed his blood, he purchased something. He purchased something. Does anybody know what he purchased? He purchased a bride, didn't he, Brother Steve? He purchased a church. Listen to what the Word of God said. I learned something in this. Take heed therefore to yourselves, to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The happiest day in the child of God's life will be the day that you understand you don't belong to yourself. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Beloved, listen to me. I'm going to give an illustration at the end here. Listen. Not just on Sunday. Every day. Every hour. I still can't get over what that brother said last Sunday night. I wish I could remember his name. I can see his face. He was talking about sitting out there fishing, I believe it with his son or his grandson. He's talking about the moon. And I've known for years that the moon has no light in and of itself. All the moon is a reflection of the sun. Beloved, there's not one child of God in this room that has any light in and of yourself. All we are is a reflection of the sun. But when that brother stood up, Brother Grizzle, he said, I asked myself this question. He said, God, am I a quarter moon? Am I a half moon? He said, God, I know I'm not a full moon. That's humility. And he said this, Brother Ike, he said, dear God, I sure don't want to be a new moon. Can I tell you something right now? Listen to me carefully, beloved. This will help you if you let it. You know what determines the shape of the moon? How much of the earth is between the moon and the sun? You know what determines whether we really let our light shine or not? How much of the earth is between us and the sun? Think about that for just a moment. God purchased us with his own blood. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said here, listen, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed. That's why I ain't worried about being lost. I've been sealed. God said, listen, not only did I purchase you, but I put such a down payment, I'm going to make sure that you're my possession for all eternity. Watch this now. The Bible said, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Thank God the church is his purchased possession. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 2. I never knew this. If I did, I've forgotten it. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And then it says a peculiar people. How many believes, listen, I always thought peculiar meant peculiar. I really did. But you'll understand that in the English Bible, if you look up the Greek words sometimes, it's got a little, listen, I'm not changing the Bible, but I'm finding out, listen, what it meant. Now watch this. Listen, if you live for God, you will be a little bit odd in this world. You will be a little bit peculiar to others. I mean, after all, go to church every Sunday? Are you kidding me? Go to church every service? Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding. I love the Lord. Amen. Amen. Watch this. A peculiar people. I looked up the word peculiar and it means acquisition. It means, by extension, preservation. It means purchased. It means possession. It means saving. You know what God is saying, even that you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. What he's saying in so many words is, you belong to me. I purchased you. I bought you with my own blood. Why? That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. John said, I'm writing some things to you. I want your joy to be full. Listen, one of the things is about the blood. We have forgiveness through the blood, fellowship through the blood. Our foe is defeated through the blood, and our future is sure because of the blood of Jesus. I want to ask a question. How many remembers going to a carnival, or I guess that's where it would probably be more so, where they had maybe the image of something, maybe it was like a muscle man, and you stepped up behind it and just put your face up there. How many knows what I'm talking about? And they took a picture of you, and people would get together, and they'd see the picture, and they'd laugh. Maybe one of them, the illustration talks about one of them, a muscle man, one of them a clown, one of them maybe even a bathing beauty. How many remembers that? Now listen to this. This was good. Many of us have had our pictures taken this way, and the photos are humorous because the head does not fit the body. I'm going somewhere. If we could picture Christ as the head of the local body, the head of the church, would the world laugh because it's a misfit? Or would the world see that that's a body that lines up with the head? That's a sobering thought. How many believes the husband's the head of the wife and the head of the home? I didn't write the Bible, I just believe it. How many believes Christ is the head of the church? How many believes when those things get out of order, you've got yourself a mess? Brother David, God never intended for a deacon to be the head of the church. He had intended for Christ to be the head of the church. And I've never had the first problem like that around here, and I thank God for it. But God never intended for the pastor to be the head of the church. He intended for Christ. Pastor didn't shed his blood for the church. Christ did. I believe with all of my heart, one of the reasons the joy is missing is because of a misfit. Going places, acting ways, watching things, listening to things that just do not fit in a child of God's life. You say, well, preacher, what happens? How many knows what happens? Help me. How many knows what happens? Amen. You don't lose salvation. But I tell you what you will lose. You'll lose that joy. Amen. That thrilled me the other day. Thrilled me. We were down there where your mom or your grandma is, honey, with your mom. And I was witnessing to the nurse that let us in the door. And she said, I've got one of those. She said, a six-year-old boy with little glasses down at the Pizza Hut. Or it was a pizza place. Maybe it wasn't a Pizza Hut. I'm not advertising for any of them. You say, why? Because I like all of them. She said, a little six-year-old boy. Now listen to him carefully. That six-year-old boy was the boy that got saved last Sunday morning down at Mountain View. Now, buddy, he's on the right track. She was a giant to him. He reached it right up there unashamed. You know what I believe? I believe that little body was fitting the head just right. Say amen. And you and I ought to strive to do the same. Individually and collectively as the body of Christ. That we don't look like the head of Christ on a clown's body. Say amen. But the head of Christ on the body that he purchased with his own blood, the church. This morning, John said, there's a reason I'm writing all this to you. I want your joy to be full. You know what I believe? Listen to me. I won't be dogmatic. But I believe God wants our joy to be full more than we want our joy to be full. Because God knows. Woo, glory. Bob, here's what God knows. The closer we get to being full of joy, the closer we get to being a full moon. The closer we get to joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for John. Lord, thank you for a man that wouldn't lift himself up, but he sure would lift up Jesus. God, I pray that Jesus has been lifted up this morning. I pray that that precious blood, Lord, would be applied. I go back, Lord, in my mind to the book of Exodus. If the blood was in the backyard, it wasn't helping anybody. If the blood was on the brush, it wasn't helping anybody. The blood had to be applied. It had to be taken from the basin and applied to the doorpost and the lintel. Lord, you said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. God, this morning, there are people sitting in our midst that have never come in contact with the blood of Jesus. They've never known what it is, the joy. God, I never shall forget the joy that came into my life when I knew that I'd been forgiven. When I knew that I'd been washed. When I knew that that mess that I'd been making for 27 years was erased. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, God, that since then. Lord, I wish I could say there had been a time or two. God, there have been many times. God, I had to get right with God. I had to get right with a brother or sister in Christ. Times, Lord, I had to get right with my children, my precious wife. Lord, I'm glad for the blood of Jesus. Let's us, our Father, back up and say, I blew it. I made a mistake. I sinned. Forgive us, Lord. God, I pray this morning for that Christian that's here and there's a distance between them and you. God, I pray, Lord, that distance would be closed this morning. God, that they'd realize they left their first love. They've allowed the earth to get between them and you, the things of this world. Help us this morning. Restore that joy in that believer's life. Save that one that's lost. God, help us all to be thankful for the precious blood of Christ that bought us at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. In your heart and mind, before the world was ever spoken into existence, the Lamb was slain. Help us, we pray. Let's stand to our feet.